Reference to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Why Can't We See God?
Grace to you and peace and joy from our Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Well, last week, if you remember, we talked about seeing our loved ones again in heaven and in the world to come. And this week, I'd like to talk with you about a similar topic, namely seeing the face of God. Wouldn't you love to see it? Can you imagine that? Think about that right now. What would it be like if you could actually just see his face right now and behold it? What would that be like? What would you see? What would it look like? I think this is an important topic for us to talk about, especially because as Christians, when we go through this life, we can't see God, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And that can be hard for us to believe that in especially the troublesome times of our life, that someone is actually really with us, and we believe he's there, as we do. Jesus said, I'm with you always, to the close of the age, and yet we can't see him with our physical eyes. And that could be difficult, but that's the Christian life. It's called faith. Today, therefore, let's talk about seeing God's face. And is God still with me even though I can't see him? Why can't I see him? Can I see him? When will I see him? Will I see him? And if I saw him, what would I see? Would I see God smiling on me or a frown? What do we learn about that today by God's word, God's face? Let's take a look at that. Well, first off, why talk about the face? I mean, why not just talk about his pinky or his leg or his toes or his elbow or something like that, his body? Why talk about the face? Well, the face really is the most important part of us, isn't it? It's full of the expression of the soul. If we look over here in the book of Acts, think about this. When Paul went to meet the elders at Ephesus for the last time, they came down to him as he was passing by that part of the world, and he says to them, and now behold, I know that all you among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, and he says a bunch of things like, take heed to yourselves. He says, beware of the savage wolves that will come in among you. Be alert, and I commend you to the word of grace, etc. Says, and when he'd spoken thus, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they all wept and embraced Paul and kissed him. Watch this, verse 38. Sorrowing most of all because of the word he'd spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they brought him to the ship. Think about that. When you're going to see Paul and he preaches to you, you know, all these important things. Tend the flock, beware of the wolves, and I commend you to the word of his grace. Great words. But the thing that most disturbed them and stuck out in that conversation was their sorrow that they'd never see his face again. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that the hard part with our loved ones, that we won't see their face again until the kingdom? Hence, we preached on that last week. But our faces really are the most important part of ourselves. You know, this is Mother's Day, and I love my wife, Beth. I love everything about her. But I don't generally focus on her pinky or her elbow or her kneecap, right? It's her face. And believe me, Beth's face is expressive, right? You know Beth? My goodness, I never have to wonder what she's feeling. It's written all over her like a book. You can read her soul like a book right there on her face. And our faces are so important. Do you know that photographs are almost always of the face, right? You don't take pictures so much of your feet and things like that, or toes. It's your face. And maybe it's for this reason that Beth always says when I'm to take a picture of her, she says, make sure you shoot from the hips up. I don't know why she always says that. She always says that. She says, nothing below the waist. The face, it's the most important thing. Do you know this, that as far as I know, human beings are the only creatures God ever made that make love face to face. All others, it's not face to face, but human beings, God made it different, that they be face to face, close in that kind of way. Think about your little children when you brought a baby home. You stared into the face of your child. You could do it for hours. And then your baby would look up at you and wonder, fascinated, could gaze into your eyes forever. This is fascination with the face because it's the place where we see the heart, the love, the emotion, the anger, the mercy, the kindness, the depth of a person, be it good or bad. And therefore, Scripture says in Proverbs 15:13, a glad heart makes a cheerful face. Isn't that a beautiful thing? When you have a happy heart, it expresses itself in the face. And Emerson said the eyes are the windows of the soul. The whole face is so expressive. But what we're talking about today is seeing God's face. Can you imagine that? What would you see in the depths of his soul as you look into his face? Wow. Well, will we see it? Well, let's understand, first of all, whether God has a face. He's a spirit, right? Does he have a face? We're maybe not accustomed to thinking that way because, you know, you shall not make a graven image, and so we don't really picture God's face sometimes, but God actually does have a face. Can I show that to you in Scripture? Let's look over here at Matthew 18, for example. Verse 10, Jesus says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father who's in heaven. So you tell me, do the angels see God's face? Yes or no? Yes, they do. They see God's face. Think about that. Of course, they can do it because their eyes are like flames of fire. They can see his face. How about Jesus? Over here in John 6, he says in verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except him who is from God. He has seen the Father. Has Jesus seen God's face? Yes, he has. Nobody else, no human being. Angels do. Jesus has. God has a face. That's a beautiful point right there. What do you think it looks like? How would you describe it if you saw God's face? Well, we read over here in Revelation, at least in a vision, John got to see Jesus' face. And Jesus is the image of God. He is God in the flesh. And here's a picture of him. I turned, says John, to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and one in the midst of those lampstands, like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden girdle around his breast. His head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. That's actually a beautiful picture, by the way, for your white hair, right? I mean, you got hair like God's. That's pretty good. His eyes, look at this, were like a flame of fire. Picture that. And his feet like burnished bronze, etc. His voice like the sound of many waters. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. You ever tried to go out and just look at the sun? Think about the sun and then full strength, superpower sun. Looking into God's face would be like that. In fact, Paul, when he recounts his conversion, he says, he's recounting it later to the king. He says, at midday, O king, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining round me those who journeyed with me. And when we'd all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That's Jesus. So brighter than the sun, so powerful. Is God's face powerful? Paul falls onto the ground before it and can't even stand. There's no strength left in him. He's even blinded until God sends Ananias to open his eyes. Because of that light. So powerful is the light of God. Now, how powerful is God's face? You know, the Bible says whenever God looks upon his creatures, they have life and blessing and joy and life springs up. But when he turns his face away, they perish. And you can see that in a person's life, like David says in Psalm 30, verses 6 and 7. He says, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By thy favor, O Lord, that hadst established me as a strong mountain, thou didst hide thy face, I was dismayed. You know, if you can't see God's face, kaput, you're Dunsky, right? You're in big trouble, and you begin to perish and fail. But when he looks upon you and shines his face upon you, how beautiful that is. Life springs forth. To see it with a smile, there's nothing better. To see it with a frown, can you imagine how terrible that would be? We get a picture of that in Revelation also. How terrifying. It says basically at the last day here, when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth, and the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that's rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Do you know when Jesus comes, everything flees away. He's so powerful. It says, then the kings of the earth and the great men and the generals and the rich and the strong and everyone, slave and free, hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand before it? When God rises to terrify the earth, friends, and he shows his face in anger at sin and with fury, no one can stand before it. And people try to hide away from it, but they can't. How terrifying that would be, right? But how beautiful when God looks upon you with grace and smiles upon you. As it says in Job 33, then man prays to God and he accepts him. He sees his face with a shout of joy, and he restores to man his righteousness. Oh, would you like to have God smile today? Raise your hand. Yay, Lutherans are raising their hands in church. I love it. So why can't we look on God's face? We want to see God. Why can't we just see God? Why can't we just see him right now? Well, Moses wanted to see God right now. Remember that? We just read that. He says to the Lord, I pray thee, show me thy glory, says Moses to God. And God says, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, Moses. I'll proclaim before you my name, the Lord. But you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And so what's God do? He hides him in the cleft of a rock. He says, I'll put my hand over you, Moses. I'll pass by so that you can't see my face, because I don't want you to die. And as soon as I pass, I'll remove my hand from you, and you'll see my back as I pass by. But you shall not see my face, lest you perish. Powerful, amen? God really has a face. You can see it right now, except you're in sin, and I'm in sin. We're also in a weak flesh. You know, I think personally, I can't prove this, but Adam, even in paradise, though he hadn't sinned, I don't think could see God's face, because he's still in a flesh. We need eyes like the angels, like flames of fire, or you're going to perish. You're going to be wiped out by the power of it, of God. And so here's something good to tuck away in your belt, is that if you are concerned today, hey, I can't see God's face. Oh, that's so troubling. You know what? That's mercy. That's God's mercy to you. Just remember, when you can't see God with your own eyes, God is doing that because he loves you. He doesn't want you to perish, because if he were to show you his face, you'd die. It's too strong. He's hiding you for a while, hiding himself from you for a while. But he says, walk by faith and see me in this way. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, says Paul, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. But don't you want to see him, though? Wouldn't that be great? What if we could see him right now, today? Wouldn't that be fantastic? I mean, if we could really see him, put a face with the name, so to speak. Think there's any hope that we're going to get to see God's face? Well, you know, God in the scriptures has given us glimpses of him, because he wants to be seen by you, desperately wants you to look at him, just not yet. We see that in how he appeared there to Moses. He said, I'll show you my backside, but not my front for now. You couldn't take it. Abraham got to see the Lord, at least in a way that God came, in a way that he could see him without being destroyed when he came with the two angels. Joshua got to see the Lord standing there, remember, with a drawn sword on the way to Jericho. He saw it, but in a way that he could take it. Gideon and Samson's parents, and then Jacob wrestled with the Lord, remember, in the dark at the river Jabbok. Isaiah, Ezekiel, and John have seen God in visions in ways that we get a glimpse of him. So guess what? If God is giving glimpses of himself, does he want to be seen by you? Does a father who has his baby in the womb can't wait till the baby can see his face? Absolutely. But you don't get the baby out of the womb early or the baby dies. You got to have a time when you can see the face and not before. And we know that God wants you to see his face by this. He's even commanded it. He says, as David said, "Thou hast said to me, seek ye my face. And my heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not thy face from me." So are you going to be forever disappointed? Seek my face and you can't see me? Hide and seek game with the Lord? Are you ever going to get to see him? Well, we've already seen him in the person of Jesus Christ. We read here in John chapter 14, remember? Jesus says, "If you'd known me, Philip, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth you've seen him and have known him." Philip's like, "What? Lord, show us the Father and we shall be satisfied." And Jesus says, "Have I been with you so long and yet you don't know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." And so if you see Jesus Christ, have you seen the Father? Yes, you have. Maybe not his full face and all brightness, but you've seen the Father if you've seen Jesus Christ, if you've believed on him. "For the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? By the eyes of your heart in here, these little eyes in here, are you seeing him already by faith, keeping your eyes on him? Yes. "We are always of good courage," says Paul. "We walk by faith, not by sight." But faith is a certain kind of sight. It's just seeing without your physical eyes, but your heart and your soul are already looking on him. Do you know Moses endured in this way through Egypt? By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So if you're going through your life today and you're having good times or maybe storms like we talked about in the children's message, can you see God by faith? Can the eyes of your heart actually say, "There he is. I'm going to endure as seeing the one who is invisible to my physical eyes"? Do you know David says, "I keep the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved." What are you facing today? What are you going through in life? Can you say, "My eyes are upon thee, O Lord"? I remember when Beth was going to have Naomi and we had complications, and I thought of that line from Jehoshaphat. "We don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are upon thee." And God brought us through it. Our eyes were upon him. We're looking on him. Do you see him right now? How about right now? At 10:45 a.m., Sunday the 14th of May. Do you see him? By faith? Are you looking on him with your heart? You're seeing him by faith if you're seeing Jesus Christ. When I sail in my boat, or when I counsel, or when I visit somebody, or watch a sunset, eat, sleep, go to bed, get up, I seek, and I'm sure you do too, to keep the eyes of your heart on him and see him, and then by that, endure and conquer and rejoice. "Seek ye my face," God says. "My heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not thy face from me." Do you seek God's face? Are you seeking it today? Seeking it right now? "God, I want to see you. I want to follow you. I want to believe in Jesus. My eyes are upon him in my heart." How does seeing God's face in the face of Jesus Christ by faith change you? Well, you know what? When you look on someone's face, you kind of become like them, right? You ever go into a room and someone's got a frown and you're like, "Oh, brother." And you're like, "No, I got a frown." Or they're smiling. And then you smile because you get affected by the other person's face. I remember one day when I was out sailing with my dad. I was 7 years old. We went offshore in Cape Cod, 20-plus mile-an-hour winds on a little tiny sunfish. You know a sunfish, right, Lynn and Dick? 14-foot, little feet in a little cockpit. We were going offshore, father and son, and we started, as the seas got big, as we headed out to Monomoy Island off of Cape Cod, we were plunging the whole boat under the water, and it would kind of shudder coming up, huge volumes of water pouring off of the foredeck there, just a little boat. And then we tried to turn around. We were not such good sailors in those days. And now the land is like 4 miles away, and we're going to try to sail back toward it across these waves. We had trouble tacking the boat in these big waves. And I started to go, as a seven-year-old, I'm never going to see the face of my sister again. But then I looked up at my dad. He says, no, we'll get back. All right, son. Don't worry. And I took confidence from my dad's face. And in about an hour or so, we did make it back to shore. And I'll tell you, I did get to see my sister's face again. And I saw my mom's face, which was not so pleasant toward my dad's face. But nevertheless, we got home. But you know, when you look at somebody's face, you get changed by them. What if you go through your life, never from this day on, taking your eyes off of Jesus, which is also looking then on the face of your Father in heaven? What is that going to do for you? That's going to change you from fear to courage and to confidence and to peace, because you're going to be made over to be like him. Moses spent his day up on the mountain, his days up on the mountain with God, beholding God's face, or his presence, that is, I should say. And when he came down from the mountain, the people drew back from there and were like, whoa! They were afraid because Moses' face glowed. Do you think when you spend time with God, your face is going to glow and shine? And you won't even know the change, but the people around you will see it. Paul says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, into Jesus' image, from one degree of glory to another. From this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So if you put your eyes on Jesus Christ through the rest of your life by faith as your Savior, the Spirit in you is going to be transforming you over to look like him. And that's a beautiful thing. And what do you see? Much depends on this. When you look on God right now by faith, is he frowning on you? Or is he smiling upon you? You know what? I got to tell you something. A lot of Christians who have God's smile think he's frowning on them. And a lot of unbelievers who do have God's frown think he's smiling on them. You know, this comes from the devil, who's the reversal guy of all things. If you are a Christian and you've believed in Jesus Christ, God is smiling on you. Can you see that right now? Or do you still feel like he's frowning and he's upset with you and he's angry and he's ticked off and he's coming to get you? You know what? The Bible says, Jesus says, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, that person has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment. He's passed out of death into life. For God so loved the world, he loved you, that giving his only son into death on a cross, you believing on him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you're a Christian today, is God smiling on you? Yes or no? Yes. Now say it like you mean it. Yes. Yes, he does. You know what? I struggle with this all the time. I can tell you, even though I know this, I could answer it on a test. Yes, he smiles on me. But when I feel it in my heart, sometimes I'm like, oh, I wonder if he's frowning on me. But you know what? God told me this week this, and he said, I'm smiling on you, Greg. I'm smiling on you. Even though you think I'm frowning, I'm smiling on you, Greg. And when I heard that in my heart, I felt this jolt of righteous energy from the Holy Spirit, like, whoa. It was like God was saying, yes, Greg, believe it. I'm smiling on you, and you need to believe it too. So much depends that when you look on Jesus, you know that he is your Savior. God does love you. And in Jesus Christ, your sins have been taken away from you. And he is like a father beaming with a shining smile upon his children. And we need to believe that and see him in this way and not let the devil twist things around on us. And what's the result of our faith? Peter says, though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with inexpressible joy, filled with glory. And as the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. Isn't that beautiful? So God smiles on you. Amen. One final point. Is that all God has for you? To look on him by faith? He says, one day, my children, you're going to look on me face to face. But I got to give you eyes to see it first. You know, when Naomi was in the womb, and I loved her as a dad, I couldn't wait for the day when I saw her face and she saw mine. But I knew I couldn't interrupt that process and jump the gun. I had to let her develop in the womb. But I sang to her, and I spoke to her, inchworm, inchworm, measuring the marigold,
You and your arithmetic, you'll probably go far.
And she'd always go like, inside Beth's womb. You know, the day that she was born, and I remember it so clearly, I can see it in my mind's eye. She'd never seen me. She was brought in to Beth and me there in the delivery room, and she was just like this, and she had strong neck muscles because I began singing, inchworm, inchworm, measuring the marigold. Seems to me you'd stop and see how beautiful they are. And she goes, and then she locked onto me like a target. She's like, that's the face of the man who's been loving me all along, my father who's sung to me all these days. That's his face. I see it finally. And I'll tell you something, friends. God sings to you right now. He loves you right now. He's preaching to you right now through me. He's speaking to you in the womb. He can't interrupt this process and let you see him too soon or you die. But there's coming a day when you're going to be ready. You're going to be born into the world to come and into heaven above. And you're going to get to see his face. And you're going to say, there's the man. There's the father who's been loving me and singing me these sweet love songs all along. At last I see his face. For now we see in a mirror dimly, says Paul. But then, face to face, and beholding Jesus by faith right now, you have eternal life. And Jesus says, I'll raise you up at the last day, and your eyes will be changed to be like the angels, flames of fire, and you'll be able to see him. For Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he'll stand upon the earth, and after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him and not another. And Revelation 22 says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Night shall be no more, neither lamp or sun they need any more, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So I conclude with this. Do you see him today by faith? And do you see his joy over you? Good question. Think about it. He does in Jesus. Do you see his joy over you? Do you see his love over you? Not his frown, but his shining smile as a father who loves you in Jesus Christ. Psalm 34, verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Why Can't We See God? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are 10 a.m. on Sundays and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
Maybe I don't truly know you, or maybe I just simply believe. 'Cause I can sniff, I can see, and I can count up pretty high, but these faculties aren't getting me any closer to the sky. But my heart